Waste management. IPs should be involved in the management of healthcare waste that is capable of transmitting infectious agents. Key point. It is a common misconception that exposure to a pathogen in wastes will likely result in infection. Pathogenic organisms are found in many different day-to-day settings. Ordinary garbage, bed linens, soiled diapers, and unwashed hands are all examples of environments in which pathogens can routinely be found both inside and outside the healthcare setting. Multiple studies have shown that, although hospital wastes can have a greater variety of organisms than residential wastes, household wastes are more heavily contaminated. Even when generated from healthcare activities, most garbage, soiled bed linens, and diapers do not have any special handling requirements. Definitions and terminology surrounding waste and waste types vary from organization to organization. Varied definitions in local and regional regulations affect the criteria established in organizations. But in order for waste to transmit infectious agents and cause infection, all of the following specific requirements must exist. The infectious dose must be high enough. The host must be susceptible. A pathogen must actually be present. The pathogen must be virulent. A portal of entry into the host must be accessible. Given the above requirements, the following categories of infectious waste may be described along with a few examples of each. Note that not all of these waste types are typically present in all healthcare facilities. Contaminated sharps. Examples include discarded needles, scalpels, or broken glass, such as from a test tube. These pose the greatest risk for injuries and associated infections due to their ability to generate a portal of entry in a host with a puncture or cut. Once they are properly placed in an appropriate, rigid, puncture-resistant container, they pose negligible risk. Microbiology cultures and stocks of infectious agents. Examples include stocks used in research or cultures of bacteria, viruses, or other microorganisms. These pose the greatest potential for infectious disease transmission because they contain high concentrations of potentially pathogenic organisms. They may be treated and disposed of as non-hazardous waste in some cases, according to regulations. Animal wastes. Examples include excrement from therapy, life enrichment, or service animals. In non-healthcare settings, this may include waste from animals used in medical research. Salmonella may be found in the feces of some animals, such as reptiles or birds. Clostridium perfringens may be found in their digestive tracts as well. Blood and blood products. Examples include whole blood, serum, and immunoglobulins. Small amounts of these materials dried on dressings or other disposable items represent an insignificant hazard once they are properly contained because of the absence of a portal of entry and a means of transmission. If allowed by local regulations, they may be carefully poured down a drain that is connected to a sanitary sewer designed for the disposal of human waste. Selected isolation wastes. Examples include excretions, exudates, and secretions from patients with highly communicable diseases, such as Ebola or smallpox. This may require specialized shipment or disposal to comply with legal requirements. Pathological wastes. Examples include tissue specimens collected or removed as a result of surgery. Pathological wastes do not usually fit the definition of infectious waste outlined previously. There is no portal of entry, and most of these materials have been soaked in alcohol or formaldehyde. Thus, they seldom contain pathogens. If the waste in question does not meet the criteria necessary to cause infection and thus does not fit into one of the above categories, it differs little in danger from waste generated by a normal household. As is the case in other areas, there is a complex web of regulatory oversight with regard to management of waste. This includes agencies common to the healthcare arena, such as the CDC, but it can also include other governing agencies. Waste management plans. An efficient waste management plan includes definitions of infectious and non-infectious waste, and it addresses every step, from acquiring materials that become waste to generation of waste, discarding, collection and containment, handling, accumulation and storage, transportation, treatment, and ultimate disposal. The waste management plan should be written, and it is addressed to some extent by many regulatory, advisory, and licensing agencies. The key to success is a collaborative effort that includes the IP. Key point. Organizations may choose to rely on the jurisdiction's definition for regulated waste when defining infectious waste in their waste management plan. In the U.S., the Bloodborne Pathogen Standard from OSHA defines regulated waste as liquid or semi-liquid blood or other potentially infectious materials. Contaminated items that would release blood or other potentially infectious materials in a liquid or semi-liquid state if compressed. Items that are caked with dried blood or other potentially infectious materials and are capable of releasing these materials during handling. Contaminated sharps and pathological and microbiology waste containing blood or other potentially infectious materials. The method of disposal depends on the type of waste. Incinerators can be used for pathological waste, such as tissue samples or organs, and for Category A infectious waste, including hemorrhagic fever viruses, hantavirus, and cultures of other agents such as herpes simplex B virus. Autoclaves can be used to dispose of microbiology cultures, stocks of bacterial and viral infectious agents, and other microorganisms, as well as Category A infectious waste. Sanitary sewers may be used for the safe disposal of blood, suctioned fluids, ground tissues, excretions, and secretions, provided that local sewage discharge requirements are met. Trash chutes, dumpsters, and compactors can be used for non-infectious waste. The waste management plan should assign responsibility and authority for overseeing the program to an individual who is knowledgeable regarding infectious disease transmission and who is familiar with applicable regulations. Example, the facility safety officer or environmental services director, or less commonly, an IP. This ensures that these materials are handled as required and in a scientific manner. Plan objectives should include rendering infectious or regulated waste safe for disposal. Ensuring that there is minimal risk to patients, HCP, visitors, and others associated with waste generated by the facility. Meeting or exceeding regulations. Educating HCP on the management plan and the actual, as opposed to perceived, risk levels posed by waste. Recommendations for other plan components are as follows. Designation. Policies and procedures for sorting discarded materials must be aligned with regulatory and safety requirements. A list of infectious waste generated by the facility should be developed, and the areas generating that waste should be identified in the plan. Segregation. Waste should be segregated by appropriately knowledgeable HCP at the point of origin into designated receptacles designed to prevent leaks and punctures. When waste has multiple types of hazards, it should be handled with the most stringent handling requirement associated with those hazards. Packaging. Waste must be packaged properly to protect patients, HCP, visitors, and the public from potential exposure to infectious materials and to facilitate the proper handling, storage, treatment, or disposal of the waste. Selection of the appropriate packaging type depends on the characteristics of the waste. Infectious waste must be properly identified as a biohazard, following guidelines for use of red color coding or use of the universal biohazard symbol and term biohazard. Jurisdictions otherwise specify packaging requirements. Some general guidelines are as follows. Sharps containers must be impervious, rigid, puncture-resistant, leak-proof on the sides and bottom, and closable. Plastic bags are appropriate for bulk solid or semi-solid infectious wastes or for disposables containing residual liquids. Bags should be impervious and tear-resistant. Potentially infectious liquid wastes may be carefully poured down a designated sanitary sewer by personnel using appropriate engineering controls and PPE. When disposal via a sanitary sewer is not desirable or possible, liquid waste should be placed in leak-proof containers, such as a flask or bottle, that can be tightly capped or stoppered. Absorbent material, sufficient to absorb the entire contents of the container, must be added to the outer container. Free-flowing liquids should not be poured directly into a waste container. Suction canisters must be tightly closed and placed in plastic bags. Bags may then need to be placed in a secondary container, such as a cardboard box, to preserve the integrity of the packaging during transport and storage. Semi-rigid or rigid secondary containers usually are required for off-site transport of infectious or regulated waste. Storage, treat and dispose of regulated waste as soon as possible after generation. Comply with storage times set by jurisdictions. Follow regulations on storage areas and enclosure types. Transport. Maintain packaging integrity and protect handlers during transportation of infectious or regulated waste. Discourage the use of mechanical waste collection devices and gravity or pneumatic chute transport. Use readily cleanable or plastic-lined leak-proof carts to transport infectious or regulated waste from the generating areas to the storage area. Treatment. Treat infectious waste using different methods: steam sterilization, chemical disinfection, gas/vapor sterilization, irradiation decontamination, microwave, thermal plasma, and hyperchlorination. Select the treatment method based on the amount and type of infectious waste, facility capabilities, and cost effectiveness. Choose a monitoring system based on the treatment method and monitor treatment methods for efficacy. For example, steam sterilization treatment would be monitored using a biological indicator that includes Geobacillus sterothermophilus spores. Disposal. The direct disposal of infectious or regulated waste at a properly sited landfill does not present a threat to public health and safety, according to many experts, and is still acceptable in many areas. However, this is subject to local regulations. Contingency planning. Include systems in the plan to address unforeseen events that may disrupt normal treatment, transportation, and disposal of infectious waste materials. Prepare both on- and off-site contingencies and develop alternate strategies in case of on-site treatment systems failure or a power shortage. Designate a backup disposal contractor. Develop on- and off-site emergency spill procedures. Staff training. Train necessary personnel involved in the generation, handling, transporting, treatment, or disposal of infectious waste. Specific training may be required by regulatory agencies. At a basic level, this training should include the facility's definition of infectious waste, handling procedures, appropriate PP hand hygiene, labeling or coding used to designate items as infectious waste, post-exposure management. Key point: the IP may be involved in both the development and coordination of the infectious waste plan. For the plan to be successful, it may require the IP to engage with various outside entities to ensure that they have the ability to handle the types of infectious waste being generated and follow policies and procedures that are in alignment with the needs of the facility. As handling infectious or regulated waste may require the use of specialized equipment and external services, it may be a significant cost source for a facility. Reduction of this waste may save the facility money over time. Waste segregation and the reuse or recycle of permissible waste is one key method for this. A flowchart showing how waste minimization and segregation may be implemented at a facility is shown in Exhibit 5-8. Exhibit 5-8, Waste Management Flowchart. Emerging issues. The emergence of new infectious agents may present new challenges in waste disposal, especially when knowledge about a causative agent is limited and information about transmission or infectious nature is incomplete. In these cases, stringent recommendations for waste handling and disposal are often implemented. Potential bioterrorism agents, such as smallpox and Ebola virus, have prompted guidance that includes waste handling and disposal. For example, even though the smallpox vaccine does not contain the smallpox virus, smallpox vaccination plans should still address the handling and disposal of bifurcated needles, vaccination site dressings, and discarded unused vaccine. Waste contaminated with Category A agents is deemed regulated medical waste, and its disposal must be managed in one of two ways. It is either inactivated on site or transported to a facility for disposal. If a facility is used, healthcare organizations should proactively address preparedness planning, training, and PPE for HCP and confirm the willingness of their medical waste processors to accept these types of waste and identify suitable alternatives if necessary. Many technologies are available or under development to treat or decontaminate regulated medical wastes. Methods reduce microbial load, and the final waste product does not need to be sterile prior to disposal. Processes include autoclaving, incineration, internment, anatomic wastes, chemical disinfection, grinding, treating/disinfection methods, energy-based technology, microwaves or radio waves, disinfection, encapsulation, and disposal into a sanitary sewer.